Thank you, Chuck. Wow. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Last night, as I normally do on Saturday nights, I was reading through my message for today just to become familiar with it the night before after it has sat for a day or two. And as I was reading through it, I just was led to do something completely different. So for those who like to follow along on the outline and take the daily reading home, sorry, I don't have those for you today. So what I did is I took some time last night and put some notes on an envelope, came in this morning and typed out some notes in case I need them. But I want to look at Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word, the pictures that it gives us, the history, the events of the life of Jesus, and so many lessons that we can gain from him. We're thankful that he has been revealed, that you have been revealed through him and him through your word to us. I pray that our hearts and minds would be open to your word and that you would speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever been afraid? Growing up, most of my childhood, I have to confess, I had an irrational fear of doctors. I was afraid of doctors. An aggressive fear. I despised going to the doctor's office because of the shots that I would get there, but I had this unhealthy, aggressive fear of doctors. And I had this dream that I thought was a dream until later it was explained to me that it wasn't a dream. I have memories of being two years old and in the hospital for some type of surgery. I probably should call my parents and clarify what it was. Probably to put a tube in one of my ears, how a lot of children have done. But I have memories of a playroom in the hospital. I have a memory of what to me I believe was the operating room. The sterile, cold room. I can still picture it in my mind. And later, my parents told me, when you were two, you were in the hospital. In fact, it was traumatic for us. He said that they wouldn't let them come and see me. And I was behind a door. I don't know if it was a room where they were keeping me. But I was screaming and I was crying and I was crying out. And my dad said a nurse physically had to hold him back from going in there. They would not let my mom and dad in there. We have fears. When I was a teenager, my youth group went to Kings Island. It's a twin to Kings Dominion. We lived closer to Kings Island. Looks very similar. The Eiffel Tower, the fountain, the wooden roller coaster there. They were two of them called the Racers. And they got me on that roller coaster, and I had a fear of roller coasters. And I think they spent more time laughing at me because I was holding on for dear life with my eyes closed. I didn't enjoy a bit of it. I didn't see any of it. I got used to roller coasters later, but at that time I was so afraid. In 2009, we took the boys to Disney. That was the only time we went to Disney. I know some families go often, but we went once with our three boys. That was a year before Tyler was going to be a senior and graduate. And we went on this ride where you're sitting down and you go into, it's supposed to be like an elevator. And then you sit there and it drops, and then it stops, then it drops again. Then it takes off up, then it will drop. And I think Becky spent the whole time laughing at me because the whole time I had my eyes closed and, I hate this ride. I hate this ride. I hate this ride the whole time. It was a fear. Probably my biggest fear in life, I was a sophomore in high school, was to be in front of people. That was my biggest fear in life. I was in a debate class my sophomore year, and my biggest fear was to get in front of my little class and have to talk in front of the class. That was probably my biggest fear of my life, to be in front of people to do anything. About that same time in my youth group at church, we were doing a little musical program, and they had us up front, and for me that was a big fear. Before my senior year, I think I preached my first sermon. And in my senior year, I sang in my high school to more than 2,000 students, a solo. And it was because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are, not for all the mighty things that you have done. But we have fears. You have fears. We have a group of men who are with Jesus. Closest ones to Jesus. They have seen him make the lame walk, the blind see. The crowds were drawn because of the mighty works he was doing, and they were bringing their sick to be healed. Some of them close to death, and he would heal them. But as the crowds continued to gather, they couldn't get a break. They kept following them. And Jesus said, guys, we need a break. I need to rest. I'm exhausted. Let's go to the other side. So they got in a boat. They began to cross the Sea of Galilee. And the conditions were perfect for a storm. It happens often. To the west is the Mediterranean Sea, a great body of water, plenty of moisture, and it comes up over the mountain into this tropical climate, and storms can arise just in an instant, often, suddenly, and that's what happened. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee, and a storm rises up, and that boat is being tossed. The winds are blowing it around, and they go to him and say, Jesus, don't you care? We're drowning. We're dying here. We're going to drown. Do something. Jesus gets up. Looks around. Peace. Be still. And all of a sudden, the winds die down. The waves cease. And I think all of us would be, whoa, wow, what just happened? And Jesus said, why are you so afraid? What are you afraid of? I want to look at three of the reactions in here. The first reaction I want to look at is the reaction of Jesus when he says, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Now I know there's a lot of turmoil in our world. It's a lot of fear. People are afraid. And it's been more than just a virus. There are those who have lost their lives. in a tornado recently. A youth minister in a Church of Christ lost his four-year-old. Others, I think around 25, lost their lives. Just trying to rebuild. And now this. People are concerned about their health, about their job, about their business. Am I going to lose my business? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to get paid? What's going to happen? I'm concerned. I'm not concerned for my health. I'm not afraid for my health. I feel like I'm in good health. And there are many throughout the world that have already recovered, some that didn't even know they had it, some had mild symptoms, some had to be hospitalized. It certainly affects everyone differently. I'm concerned for my dad, my mom and dad. My dad especially, about 20 years ago, was diagnosed with sarcoidosis. They thought he had pneumonia, and they hospitalized him for pneumonia. And the way the x-rays looked, they couldn't believe he was even functioning at all. And when he didn't get better, they determined after a biopsy it's sarcoidosis and it had attacked his lungs. So he is certainly compromised. And they traveled from South Carolina to West Virginia on Friday for my uncle's memorial service that was yesterday. But I saw yesterday that all the states were red except for West Virginia, the only state that hadn't identified anyone that had the virus yet. I'm sure it will come. And my mother-in-law, she's over at Autumn Care, and they're pretty much locked down. We had to make an exchange through a CNA yesterday evening. The CNA came out and brought something out, and we sent something in. So certainly concerned for her and her health. So it's wise to have precautions. But let's consider Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. That's what we've done. We're going to worship. We're going to rejoice regardless of what's happening in the world. We're going to rejoice always. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. We're never going to be reasonable. We're going to be cautious. We're going to take some steps. We're not going to be like, I don't know if you saw those two guys in Tennessee on March 1st. They went on a road trip and bought more than 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer and disinfectant wipes. And they were trying to sell it on Amazon and eBay, some of up to $20 or $75. When Amazon and eBay found out, they shut them down. Now they have a garage full of disinfectant wipes and the lotions that they can't sell. They could bring it up here because we don't have any on the shelves in our stores. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. So, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Just take some precautions. Be wise. But don't be anxious about anything. How do we do that? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There we go. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts, will guard us. Peace. As if Jesus is speaking today over us, peace. Be still. Don't be anxious. Our president has set aside today as a national day of prayer. So I think we should spend a little bit of time in prayer. I didn't ask these guys, so I'm just going to randomly, I'll just go ahead and ask Keith if you'd come up and if you'd have a prayer for us. And Billy, Billy's here. Won't you come up and have a special prayer for us? Let's just have a moment of silence, of prayer. We're going to cast our anxieties upon the Lord. And maybe you guys come up here and pray into the microphone. Make sure that we can all hear you. After just a few moments of silence, go ahead and have a prayer. If you want to just sit where you are, if you want to kneel, I know it's hard to do in these pews, feel free. But let's take a moment. We're not going to be anxious. We're going to seek the peace of God. We're going to rejoice. But it comes through continually praying.
Father God, thank you so much for a chance to be able to pray to you about this. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering that we have here of brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to come before you, Lord, and all of our hearts are lifted up in reference to this whole situation. You ask us in your word to pray for those who are in authority. So, Lord, I want to pray for those who are in the positions of authority to handle situations like this. You know, they had plans prepared for pandemics and different things that spread. Lord, there's people who do research, people who try to mitigate, people who try to treat. And Lord, I just want to pray that they will make wise decisions and help them to understand exactly what's going on, be able to find a cure and preventive measures so that it doesn't spread anymore. I want to pray for all the people who are working in the medical field. I'm sure they're going to have some long hours and a lot of stuff going on with their jobs. Give them strength and encouragement to do what they do best. Pray for all the first responders, Lord, that they'll be safe out there as well, as they're going to be the ones who aren't going to get the 2 weeks off and have to go out and continue to handle calls for service and helping those who are still having issues or in trouble or in distress or get sick, Lord. So I want to pray for them. Also want to thank you, Lord, for the reminder that we're never safe here on this earth. There's no such thing that we can do in order to completely safeguard ourselves. We are not in control. And oftentimes, Lord, I know that we like to safeguard ourselves and our communities and our nice houses and nice cars and good bank accounts. And then we get reminders like this that we're never safe. And Lord, I want to thank you for that, because it's times like this that we get to turn and look back at you and say, yes, you are the Prince of Peace. You are the only one who can truly bring us peace and truly bring us comfort. And Father, we know that this world is not all there is, and we don't need to make our home here. Our home's in heaven, and we look forward to that day when we are reunited with you. And until that time, Lord, we pray that you will help us to have a clear, distinct message while we are on this earth and represent Christ. Father, I pray that you help your church to be a light to the community in this situation, to love people, to help them to also see that there is a hope in this world. There is a peace that we can have even through the worst of circumstances. And also like to thank you, Lord, for history, to know that this is not the first time a virus has spread in the known world. And this is not the first time that major amounts of populations have been affected. by some sort of virus or plague or pestilence or famine or whatever. It's happened many, many, many times over, Lord, but you are the one who is constant and is always there. So, Lord, I pray that everyone who calls on your name will turn to you during this time to remember that you are the great God in heaven, and you protect us, Lord, through every trial and tribulation. And I want to say that we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, men. You know, Scripture tells us that God loves it when we pray. And He begins to answer even before we pray. He knows what we're going to pray for. So I'm believing with all the prayers that are being offered today and in recent times, people of faith all over our country and around the world, I'm believing that the fact that we're having an early spring is by no accident. That it's a gift from God, because the warmer temperatures are going to be a benefit in all this. Peace, regardless, be still. And then Jesus looked at them and said, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" I mean, they are with Jesus. They are with the one. He's in the boat with them, the one who was there in the beginning. All things were made by Him and through Him. He was there, and He created the stars and the moon and the sun. He created the atmosphere and the seas and the systems. By all that created the storm was made by Him, and they were with Him. Why did they fear? Because they'd seen it before. And they've seen, some of these guys were fishermen. They know what it's like out there, how dangerous it can be. They may have friends, they may have family members who have died in one of these storms. The ship being beaten and sank. Some who had drowned, and their fear wasn't irrational, it was based on experience. But Matthew 10:28 says, "Don't fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one that can kill the soul and body and send it into hell for eternity." But then that same Matthew 10 goes on to say, "But when you're with Him, you don't need to fear. When a sparrow falls, He knows it. How much more is He going to care for you?" So yes, here they were fearing death. And many are afraid today because they're afraid of death. And Jesus came so we wouldn't fear death. "Anyone who lives and believes in Me will never die. Do you believe this?" Now, I know none of us want to go today or this week, but we don't have reason to fear. In 1 John 4, verse 13, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." They were with Him in the boat. He is with us in our hearts, in our lives. He has given us a Spirit of power. Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." We have been perfected in Christ. We have been made right with Christ. We have no reason to fear because we've been adopted into His eternal family. We don't need to fear death because He has conquered the grave for us. And Jesus, looking at them, said He understands that they're afraid of dying. When He asked the question, He already knew the answer. "Why are you so afraid?" And then their response was this: "Who is this? Who is this?" Didn't they get it? Didn't they know? He's the one who touched the leper and he was made whole. He's the one who called the lame man up to his feet and then he went running and leaping and praising God. He's the one who made the blind to see. He's the one who raised the dead. He's the one who went to the cross for you and me, was buried in a tomb, but then God called him out of the grave and he walked out of the grave and he conquered death for you and me. That's who he is. In that next chapter, Mark 5, Jesus was walking through a crowd. And there was a woman in the crowd. She had a disease she had been fighting for years. She spent everything she had. She gave it all to the doctors, but she got worse and not better. And now she has nothing, not even her health. But she knew, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And as Jesus is walking through the crowd, she is pushing her way through. Maybe knocked down as she crawls through and she reaches out. This is her last opportunity. With every ounce of strength as Jesus walks by, she just grazes the hem of his garment. And she could feel it, the power going through her arm and into her body. She knew she was healed. She just knew. That the pain was gone, the suffering was gone. She felt whole again. And Jesus stopped. Who touched me? And the disciples were, what do you mean who touched me? What do you mean who touched you? There are hundreds of people around here, thousands. Anyone could have touched you. He said, no, this was different. I felt power leave me. And he found the woman there. He helped her up. Your faith has made you well. You see, peace that passes all understanding comes when we draw near to the one who gave everything for us. You might know about Jesus. These disciples at this time, they knew about Jesus, but they didn't yet really know him. And it wasn't until they knew him that they had a peace to weather any storm. And no matter what you face, maybe you know about Jesus, but until you really know him, you won't be able to go through it with the same kind of peace. Heavenly Father, we have a storm in our nation, in our world. We don't know where it will go, but we're trusting. We're drawing near to you, near to Jesus. And we're praying that you would calm the storm. Sometimes you calm the storm. Many times you calm us. Continue to sing over us. Continue to speak life over us. Continue to give us a peace that passes all understanding. This beyond comprehension. Give us that kind of peace that amazes those around us, a calmness and a peace, because we have been with Jesus. Draw us near, Lord. Protect each of us from illness, from distress, from loss, as we continue to trust in you, rejoicing in our Savior, in whose name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.